This text contains the complete story of the passion of the martyrs Perpetua and Felicity, and this is one of the great gems of the early Christian tradition. It is, for a good portion of it, the results of a journal which was kept by Saint Perpetua, and therefore it is of great importance and very precious because it represents women's literature from a very, very early point in the Christian Church. It is important also because it's a first-hand account of martyrdom, and it is a reflection of how the martyrs came to be regarded in the early church. They continue this notion of spiritual ascent, and the ascent that they are making is through the offering of their lives, through the giving witness to their faith, both in their profession of faith, but also because they are willing to admit that they are Christians and lay down their lives, imitating and even participating in the passion, the suffering of Christ. The martyrs become very important in the early Christian church as intercessors, as people who can literally pray to God and effect the remission of sins, and even apply the result of their own sufferings to the circumstances of others. We might find this difficult in our day and theologically problematic, but nevertheless, it is a tradition that is associated with them, and it's important for us to realize that because the developing monastic tradition will see itself as a continuation of what the early martyrs were. And what that was is well illustrated by this story. So I'd advise you to read it over slowly and savoring it. I've included a number of points where I try to indicate what I think are some of the most important things to be aware of. If you drop down from the introduction down to the little square that begins the crime of being catechumens, this is a section that describes something of the background of Saint Perpetua and gives you and of Felicity, and it describes and it gives you a sense of the pathos of the terrible sadness of these people who are going to be condemned simply for the crime of being catechumens. At this point in the story of persecutions, those who converted to Christianity were the ones who were primarily being sought out, not necessarily Christians Christians who had been so for some time. It was becoming forbidden to convert to this religion of Christianity, which was actually seen as being a political threat, not so much a religious threat to the Roman state, because Christians, it was thought, did not have the proper respect for government or for order or for the central authority of the state, which was reflected in the state religion, which Christians wouldn't engage in. So read through that section describing the background, and then drop down to the box that describes Perpetua's first vision. Perpetua, the martyr, is a visionary. She beholds something of God. And the vision that she has uses language that will become very standard, very important in the developing Christian tradition. Her ascent is the ascent of a kind of ladder, and the devil is below the ladder trying to catch those who fall off, and the ascent is difficult. This is, of course, an allegory, a parable of the Christian ascent to Christ through all the difficulties that will threaten to take us away from him, especially in this case, the crime of apostasy, of not bearing witness to the faith. This image of Christians climbing up the ladder and the devil crouching as a beast below is very important in the later Byzantine tradition, and I've given you two icon images of that later developing tradition that illustrate the ladder of St. John Climacus, which is a spiritual text that is read every year in all Eastern Orthodox monasteries. Dropping down now below those two icon pictures to the picture of the Good Shepherd and of the Eucharistic banquet from the catacombs, in this section of Perpetua's first vision, she beholds Christ as it were, a shepherd. And more than that, a shepherd who invites her into a kind of a festal meal. She's gone up the ladder into heaven, and she sees the shepherd who welcomes her, gives her, as it were, cheese and a little cake. She receives it with folded hands and says, Amen, a clear allusion to the Christian celebration of the Eucharist. In giving her life for Christ, she is participating in a mysterious act of offering and refreshed in a kind of a mysterious spiritual sense by this vision, which is not the physical Eucharist, but is understandable or comprehensible in light of the Christian celebration of this mystery. And dropping down even further on this page to the section marked Perpetua's Second Vision, here she becomes an intercessor for the dead. She is invited to intercede for her little brother, Dinocrates, who was not a Christian, and as a result of her prayers, as you'll see when you read through this section, she attains or she achieves as it were, spiritual baptism. He died as a child of a terrible disease, of some form of cancer, but she sees him as a result of her prayers, being able to refreshed and not tortured by this heavenly water. So this again indicates to us what martyrs were seen as being, people whose offering of themselves to God meant that they could intercede on behalf of other Christians. Dropping down even further in the page to Perpetua's third vision, she has a vision of battling with the devil, and this too is essential in the later developing Christian tradition, a kind of a reminder of Christian asceticism. She's battling the demons, the devil in the form of the temptation to not bear witness to Christ. The Christian ascetic will constantly battle the demons through daily temptation and the quest of the virtues. You can go on to read Satyrus' account or his vision of their ascent into heaven. This is a point where Perpetua's diary is augmented, and this text is probably compiled and written by Tertullian. There are both Greek and Latin versions of this text. Satyrus' vision is the first-hand account of someone else who was a part of their band. You can go on and notice the very powerful and poignant ending at the very bottom of this account, Perpetua's heroic end, very much towards the bottom. How the soldier who was finally responsible for killing her, in a certain sense, lacks the strength. He's a young gladiator and is horrified at this task that he's being required to perform. And Perpetua even is willing to hold her hand to keep his, which is trembling, from trembling, so that he can actually dispatch her. It's as if the Christian martyr has a strength and courage which is more than those who persecute them. So in this text, we catch a glimpse of what the Christian martyrs were seen as being. They were those who had a vision of ascent to God, a sense of the strengthening and the nourishment that they received from God. They were those who were willing to do battle with the demons and bear witness, and therefore have a role of being intercessors for other Christians. As we'll see, this brilliant example of what it is martyrdom was seen as being is incorporated into and is very much at the core of the self-understanding of the monastic tradition. Monasticism continues this tradition of spiritual ascent, battling with the demons, and offering intercession for others. And now we turn to specifically monastic sources and visions of ascent.